listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolensky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax and happy holidays, Scott.
It's like impossible to do a sleigh bell sound with your mouth.
Close enough. Today we have the 2020 Web Developer Gift Guide, or as we like to call it, an entire episode of Sick Picks.
Sick Pickisode.
We should call it that. We're basically going through a bunch of things that make good gifts for techies, web developers in general, just because us web developers like nice things. We like little gadgets. We like little gizmos, whether that's in fitness or in cooking or in just in your desk and actual tech. So we're going to go through all of that. Hopefully there is some ideas that you can either get the web developer in your life or you can ask everyone else in your life for. So we are sponsored by two awesome companies today. First one is LogRocket and second one is FreshBooks. We'll talk about both of them partway through the episode.
Yeah.
How you doing today, Scott? You ready for Christmas?
I am ready for Christmas. I'm ready for all of the holidays, everything. Yeah, just it's going to be really sad this year considering we're an entirely different state than the rest of our family. And that's like really hard. Usually we have Courtney's parents come out for Thanksgiving and my parents come out for Christmas or vice versa or swap it around or sometimes they both come out. And this year it's going to be feeling really weird at our house with not everybody around and stuff like that. So it's depressing at the same time, but
yeah,
the kids love it. This is going to be, you know, Brooklyn's first Christmas where she could actually be more than just like sedentary, just like hanging out, watching everybody else enjoy the fun. She's actually going to get to rip open stuff and enjoy everything. And I remember how special that was with Landon the first time. So I'm very excited. And Landon is like full on, like Christmas is the greatest thing in the entire world age. So he's just so ready. It makes it really fun. So I'm excited.
Christmas with kids is the best. It's so fun seeing them get excited about it. And like our kids, we're recording this, November 9. So Christmas is like a month and a half away at least. And they ask like every day, is tomorrow Christmas? And we're like, not even close.
Landon carries around his like little Duplo catalogs and is like, I want this one. I want this one. And I want this one. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh man. All right. So we've broken it down into a bunch of different categories. Home and cooking, games, tech, smart home, desk stuff. Could we not come up with a better name for that? Desk stuff, ? I wrote that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, don't drag me into that conversation.
We have a whole new category this year called live streaming or sick work from home setups. I think that's a very popular thing as of lately. Everyone's at home on Zoom. Software, little apps that are nice, fitness and clothing. So should we get on into it? Start with the home and cooking.
Yeah, let's do it. And I'm going to be starting with one of my favorite things, something that you can all tell I rely pretty heavily on because I talk about it nonstop. And that's my cold brew maker. And people hear cold brew maker and they think like, oh, there's got to be some gadget or gizmo or whatever to do this thing. No, here's what these things are. So I have two of them, one of which is a gallon, one of which is 2 quarts. And if you ask me, Scott, which one do you have? I got both. I got the 1 gal and then I have 2 of the 2 quarts, and we have them in constant rotation here because you got a little bit of time for brew. So these things are basically a mason jar of a given size with the 1 gallon one having a little spout at the bottom of it. But it's basically a mason jar with a filter. Here's what you do. You buy some cheap coffee. What we do is we buy these big bags of coffee from Costco, giant unground bags of coffee. Then we use just a little tiny ceramic grinder. You grind it. Don't get a hand grinder because those things are a giant pain in the butt for how much you have to grind. You grind it. You get it kind of chunky. You put it in the filter. You put water of any type, and then you leave it on the counter for 24 hours, put it in the fridge when you're done, and you got yourself cold brew. Everybody is really surprised at how easy that is. But to be honest, it's very easy for me, and I love cold brew because of the low acidity. I can't drink normal coffee. So for me, this is way nice to have a 1 gallon thing with a spout of cold brew in our fridge at any given point. Just, maybe I'll get another glass. I'm kind of feeling a little foggy today.
That's almost 4 liters for the rest of the world. That's a lot.
Yeah, and like I said, we have one of the 1 gal and 2 of the 2 quarts so that we can always have a
just 2 liters for the rest of the world.
Just a fresh rotation going on at all times over here. So part of my routine is to fill it up when one of them gets low. And then the added benefit of having more than one is that the longer you leave the beans in there, the stronger it gets. So if you have one on deck, you can let it brew for like 3 or 4 days or so if you leave it in the fridge. And you got cold brew concentrate.
You get coked up on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. It's a little intense sometimes. Well, Courtney and I, because there's no way to really judge the batch other than time. So sometimes Courtney will be like, oh boy, this batch today, this is a serious batch.
Got a lot done today.
Got a lot done.
This is probably my most loved sick pick ever. And that is the combination of Nordic Ware half sheet pans and pre-cut parchment paper. If you have someone, I feel like I've talked about this so many times on the show, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. But if you want to give somebody who likes cooking the best gift ever, get them really nice, heavy half sheet pans, or the people call them cookie trays or whatever. And they're just basically those pans that go in your oven, and then get either pre-cut parchment paper, so it just lays flat. You just grab one out of the drawer, throw it on, or you can get these reusable silicone mats. Mm. They've come down in price quite a bit lately, which I am happy to see. And you just throw one of those on there, and it makes cleanup super, super easy. So big fan of all of those tools.
Yeah, we definitely took your advice on the pre-cut parchment paper. Definitely.
You live in that life?
Living that life. We got them.
It's a good life.
Yeah. Next one up is one of mine. And Wes said before we started recording this, this was a really good one. And my people might not think about this a lot, but I love this. And this is gaffer's tape. If you have never used gaffer's tape, it's widely used on film sets to tape down cables. It's a gaffer's job to gaffer the cables and tape everything down. And since I used to work in an environment, I used to work in a film studio where we did the CDs that came out with Guitar World magazine. It was like a guitar lessons in Guitar World magazine. I used to have to set up and tear down all day. And I got so used to using gaffer's tape for everything. It's become my go-to. And so if you come to the Talinsky household and you look at our entertainment center, you will find all of the cables gaffered down. You come to my office, you will find all of the cables gaffered down. I am not a fan of having live cables just there for some of the, especially with kids, right? You don't want kids to trip over it. So,
and it doesn't get sticky, right?
It doesn't get sticky when you tear it off, at least in my experiences in most surfaces. I don't know about every surface and whatever, but it comes in a whole bunch of different colors. Like we have the brown that is the same color as the wood in our, because we have like a Craftsman, old 1920s Craftsman house. So it's the same color as the wood molding and everything. So if you get a brown that's the same color, you don't even see it, especially if it's on like a ledge or something like that. So we use appropriate colored gaffer's tape for all sorts of stuff in the house to make sure that things are taped down and that it just hides away all the unsightly cables.
I would love a roll of this, and I've always looked into it and I've never found it like somewhat affordable. It's kind expensive. Of expensive.
It's always but it's expensive.
Like,
yeah,
it's good. There's like certain things in life where you're like, why is there not like a generic cheap version of this? And it's because it's that good. I think there's like an Amazon version of it. I'm sure it's just as good, but it's still kind of pricey.
Yeah.
$10 a roll.
Yes, it is. It's expensive for tape, but in my mind, it's one of those things that you really, you know, it's better than getting like this little hooks that you hook the cables down or whatever. I don't know. In my mind, this stuff is definitely worth the price.
Next one we have here is a whetstone for people who have knives to sharpen them. This is probably the thing that I get asked about the most.
I'm interested about
this. In like Instagram, they're like, hey, what was the whetstone that you bought? This is just for sharpening your knives, keeping them in tip-top shape. And the one I use is the Henkel's whetstone. Couldn't find it online. I got it at a local. Like, we should also say, like, we've linked a lot of Amazon links in here, but probably check out your local suppliers first for this type of stuff, just because of COVID and a lot of stores are going under right now. So I got mine at a local restaurant supply store, and it's the Henkel knife block. You just want something with a double-sided one, a normal grit, like 1,000 or something like that. And then you flip it over and you get a super high grit, like a 6,000, 7,000, something like that. And that will allow you to have a really nice. The only thing I don't like about it is it is a bit of a production. It's messy because when you use it, it's a bit of a production to like bring it out and be like, I am sharpening my knives now. Mm. But it's worth it. I'm hoping for Christmas that somebody gives me these. They're called cardboard wheels, and they are essentially just like wheels of MDF like a Kia would be made out of. You put it on a bench grinder, and apparently they are amazing for sharpening knives, like super sharp, and it's super fast. So that's what I'm going to ask for Christmas, is a set of these wheels and a bench grinder. But that's pretty involved to have to buy a bench grinder to sharpen your knives.
Yeah, that is we don't have anything like this. We just have the drag through one, which is, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? Those are pretty good. Like, yeah, they'll get you there. And same with the hone. You should, like, a hone will get you a lot of the way there in between knife sharpens. Yeah.
Yeah. We use those.
Yeah. You see a lot of people say, like, those are garbage, but they're like, they're not knife sharpeners. They're just a hone. They if you're, as you're, the tip of your knife becomes bent, like you cut through a chicken bone, the very fine tip of the knife will bend over, and the hone will sort of stand that edge back up again, and it'll make it nice and sharp before it, in between sharpens.
Yeah. Okay. Next one for me is this new vacuum cleaner that we got. I actually sick picked this in an episode. This is the Teenco Pure S12. And this is a really neat vacuum cleaner for tech heads who like vacuums. It is expensive, I am not going to lie, but it is going to do everything for you. And this thing has like a whole bunch of attachments. I've recently gotten into the little miniature roller. So to describe this vacuum cleaner, it's sort of like a handheld vacuum cleaner, like you see with the Dysons. It's a handheld vacuum cleaner that you can put a long tube on and have it be your normal vacuum cleaner. You can put a crevice tool on and have it be your crevice vacuum cleaner. And then there's a little hand roller. So you can, like, I use this to roll the countertops. Like, we got crumbs and whatever on the countertops. I just use the vacuum cleaner to roll up the crumbs. It's like that useful for me. So I use this thing for seriously everything. This vacuum, Courtney and I watched hours and hours of vacuum YouTube before purchasing this specific one. You can do so yourself. You'll find the same conclusions that this one is the best. There's swappable batteries, which is to me the killer feature for this thing, because that's what we had about. We had an older Dyson, and that was the worst part about it, is the battery would always die, and you'd be like, oh, I guess I'm done cleaning for today. I got to wait for this thing to charge. with this one, I'm a vacuumaholic, so I'm vacuuming whatever. I pop it out, pop a new battery in there, ready to go.
I'm glad that you're testing this one out. I'm hoping that our plug-in one lasts another year or so, so that we can get the full report from you, because
so far so good. Our loving
next
it. One,
yeah, that's awesome. Next up, I've sick picked this a couple times already, so I'll say it quick. Is an instant read thermometer. This is a must have for anyone cooking in the kitchen. It's important to get one that is like actually instant read and not 10-second read. And they have come down in price quite a lot in the last couple of years. So big one, just get an instant read thermometer. I'll link one up in the show notes, but there are tons of them out there.
Totally. Next one for me is going to be my favorite tea store. This is Tea House. This is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I used to pop in here. It used to be across the street from my office. So I used to pop in here all the time, but they have some of the serious best loose leaf teas. It's a small business. They do an insane amount of testing on all of their teas. They run it through all sorts of different tests, various places. They only get the best stuff. If you're into loose leaf tea, you cannot go wrong with Tea House. I have the link in the description of this show. There's stuff for everybody in here. So if you're not into like the grassy green teas or whatever, you could get something with some more fruit, more flavors or whatever based on what you like. But there's a ton of stuff here. It's a, like I said, a small business. One of my favorite places to shop, and I absolutely love it.
Let's move on to the second section, which is the Scott section, because I don't play games. And this Scott always has some super fun little games. So you'll go through all the ones.
Yeah, so these are all playable on the Nintendo Switch. Many of them are playable on other things. But I think the first one is for the programmers out there who like playing games but might like something entertaining that has some programming vibes to it. This game, Baba Is You, is a logic puzzle game that is just so fantastic. Imagine you are getting sort of a live coding environment, and you can manipulate variables and functions and whatever, and that changes the world you live in. Well, that's basically what Baba Is You is. You're a little rabbit named Baba, and you're trying to get to the goal or whatever, but you push around little things. So let's say it says like door is solid, and then you can't go through the door. But if you remove that definition from the environment, the door no longer becomes solid. You can walk right through the door. So you're basically able to programmatically manipulate the environment, and it gets really, really intense. And some of the I consider myself good at this kind of thing. Some of these puzzles are crazy hard. So this is a really great puzzle game that's very programming based. There's also the Untitled Goose Game, which is just fun. You're a goose. You cause havoc. There's a game I've been playing the most is Hades. I described it as a sick pick the other day, but this game is just absolutely fantastic. It's very Greek mythology based. And then the one for the family game is the Jackbox Party Pack, and not like kids party, like adult party, not because it's like lewd or anything, but because kids probably won't be able to have a lot of fun with this. Jackbox Party Pack, there's seven of them, are these games that people can play on their phones, and only one person needs to own the game. So what we do is we hook up my Nintendo Switch to the computer, we stream it over Zoom, and then my entire family all over the country plays these games together, which are basically party games, things like where you're writing in prompts, or the one that we like the most is called Bidiots, where you draw artwork and then the artwork has specific values and everyone's bidding on it in an auction. The person with the most amount of value at the end of it wins. It's very fun and it can cause for a lot of hilarity. So check out any of the Jackbox Party Packs. They are absolutely a ton of fun.
Beautiful. I wonder if I'll ever get into games as my kids start to get older. It definitely seems fun. Whenever you're talking about them, I'm like, that does seem fun. I should try that out.
Yeah, I played a lot of games. Like, I grew up playing video games. My parents had like the Intellivision, which is, you know, one of those old ones with keypads and whatever. So yeah. I grew up playing a lot of games. My parents would always play like Burger Time and all sorts of things. You know, I grew up with it and we used to play a lot of cards, you know, that Michigan Euchre Life. I don't know if you get Euchre in Canada, but in Michigan, it was a huge thing. So I grew up a lot of family gaming, whether it's board games, video games, or whatever, and it's definitely carried on to my life. Let's talk about Log Rocket, and I'm talking about Log Rocket as a service, not as a gift or anything like this. Log Rocket is one of our sponsors today, and this service allows you to see errors and exceptions handled happening as they happened with a video scrubbable replay. It really changes the game in terms of how you can debug things, because imagine debugging a issue and seeing exactly how that issue happened in the first place. Not only that, you get your Redux store if you have it, or your network tab, or your console log, or any of these things along with the scrubbable video, so you can see your errors happening. So check out logrocket.com/syntax. You'll get 14 days for free. It's one of these services that I absolutely love. I think it's changing the game in terms of being able to debug issues that other people are having on your site. Very cool idea.
All right, let's move into tech. These are just pieces of tech that us as devs seem to love. The first one, I think this is not a must have, but it's something that would be really nice for every developer. And that is a nice pair of Bluetooth noise canceling headphones. I personally have used the QC35s for, I don't know, like 4 years, and they are awesome. And Scott, you're on the Sonys, right?
Yeah.
They're a little bit newer.
Yeah, I'm on the Sony WH-1000XM4s. Man, they have the worst naming. I like, okay. So like Apple changed the game with naming their products a long time ago. How has nobody understood that? When anybody asks what monitor I have from LG, I wish I could just say, I have the LG Power Curve. But that's not a thing. That doesn't exist. But like, let's see, they're LG. If you're listening, LG, just call it the Power Curve. Okay, that's a great name. No, I got some just long string of digits and numbers numbers and letters that I have to tell people. And I don't even know what it is. So yeah, get on that. What's up with you?
I also
be better.
You know, I'm a big Wyze fanboy, and Wyze is a company. They had these cameras, and now they're rolling out all kinds of products,
crazy stuff, lots of stuff.
And yeah, they just announced some. They're not out yet. They're on pre-order, but they announced Bluetooth noise canceling, like active noise canceling headphones for $50.
Random products, just left and right.
Yeah, they're coming out swinging, and like, they're probably not going to be a $300 pair of headphones, but I don't think they're going to be six times worse. Like, I bet they're going to be pretty good. They look nice. Obviously, I haven't tried them yet, so I can't say that, but I'm excited to see these because Bluetooth headphones are the best. Once you get them connected, that is, they're a nightmare to get connected to your devices. Next up, we have USB-C hub. This is something, if anyone has one of the new MacBooks, I've had the USB-C MacBook for like 3 years now, and like still almost nothing that I own is USB-C. and there's no card reader on it or anything like that. So you can find a lot of these really. I'm a big fan of Anker stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Did you see Anker's coming out with, this is turning into this, the cool tech show with Scott and Wes, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah.
Did you see Anker like launched a smart home brand called Eufy?
Oh, I know Eufy. They've existed for a while. I have something that's Eufy. Or do I?
Oh, really?
Do I have something that's Eufy?
I am here for it. They got vacuums and cameras and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, man, if it's as good as the Anker stuff has been for USB and battery packs and all that stuff, that's going to be a good.
I feel like I own something that's Eufy or whatever Eufy. It is. I feel like I do, but
probably Eufy.
I'm looking at their site and I don't recognize anything. So maybe I don't. Either way. Yes, I have seen them. I did not know they were related to Anker. That's neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that because Anker makes some good stuff. Anyways, what were we talking about? USB-C hub. So something that you can plug in, you get extra USB ports, you get a card reader, you get HDMI. I have one of these. I personally have a Sovereign one, which I really like. I bring it with me to all of my conferences. It's never flaky. So either the Anker or the Sovereign ones are really good. Just having that for any dev to throw in their backpack will make sure that anything that you stumble upon, unless it's a VGA projector, you're probably going to be covered.
A keyboard that I really like is the one that I use is the Keychron K2. I believe it's the K2. When I bought this keyboard, they had like one keyboard. Now they have like eight. I have the K1 and the latest version is the version 4. I initially bought the version 2 and I did not like it. It registered key presses before and then the version 3 came out and they fixed all their issues. So I got the K1 version 3 and it's awesome. So much so that I ordered the latest K3. The K3 is their latest keyboard. So I actually jumped on this beforehand and I even kickstarted it because I'm ready to have this. This thing is a Bluetooth optical key switch keyboard and it's primarily good for, well, maybe not primarily, but it's really great for Mac users. Like the one thing that I always hated about the mechanical keyboard game is that because it's all gamers focused, it's very like low latency specific, right? So everything was non-Bluetooth because Bluetooth inherently has latency. But I wanted a nice mechanical keyboard for typing on my desk. And the Keychron ones are great because they have Mac keys you can get with Mac or PC keys. Thank you. Thank you very much because that is a very good feature. You can choose your types of key switches, optical, whatever. And the keys are very super thin. So it feels way more like typing on an actual Mac keyboard in the best way. And it doesn't feel like a giant clunky keyboard. And it's Bluetooth. And there's a lot of really neat LED patterns on this thing. So my kids love playing with it too.
That's great. Yeah, mechanical keyboards is something I've tried to get into many times over and just haven't been able to make it work. I always find myself going back to the Apple keyboard with the number pad on the side. But the Keychron one looks pretty sick.
I like it a lot.
Next, and this is related to the Bose QC35s, or actually it's related to any headphones. There's this new company, I think they're a new company, called Wicked Cushions, which is right down my alley of naming things. And they make like aftermarket ear cushions for your headphones because like the ear cushions on your headphones are consumable. Like a year and a half in, if you wear these things for 8 hours a day, they start to fall apart and they rip and whatnot. And you have to get new ear cushions and they're not that expensive. So it's kind of something you have to expect when you get these headphones. And there's this new company called Wicked Cushions that sells like stylized ones. So I ordered the black camo ones for my QC35s. They're not here yet, but from seeing the reviews and I've bought aftermarket cushions before and they've been totally fine. Aftermarket cushions for your thing. And they have them for all headphones if you got Beats or the Sony ones or whatever. But they have so many cool colors. Like they have one with big palm tree leaves over them.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to have it for my Ultrasones, which are a German company. I actually got these cushions off of eBay. They were like impossible to find anywhere. And I found them on eBay of all places.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're not just like generic circle ones?
They're not generic circle ones. They're the exact same ones that you could get from the ultrasound company themselves. But they're like a German company and they like didn't sell to ship their ones here and none of the stores carried them. It was, and also these headphones are like 20 years old at this point. So I was impressed. Yeah.
Wicked cushions.
Wicked cushions. That's very funny. Yeah.
There's a replacement top band too. That's never gone out on mine. Like the band that goes on your head. It's good to keep an eye on. What else we have here? Braided USB cables. This is always something. I'm always going through cables. I don't know if I'm hard on my cables or what, but I've bought all kinds of cheap and expensive and Apple and whatever USB cables. Actually, it's not USB cables. It's lightning cables that always break on me. I've never had a micro USB or USB-C cable go on me. but a braided one is definitely nicer in terms of durability, as well as it just, I just like the feel of it. It looks better.
It's aesthetic.
Yeah. Good aesthetic on a braided cable.
Yeah. Cool. So let's get into the smart home section. Now, Wyzecams, we've talked about Wyzecams a whole bunch on this show. And one of my new favorite Wyzecam products is the outdoor camera. The outdoor camera is a little bit costlier, but it's all battery powered. The way you had to do it before was find some way to shelter power to a camera or have it living inside, pointing outside kind of thing. These outdoor cameras, they're heavy duty for outside, but they also have a crazy good battery life.
Yeah.
The picture is amazing. We have the straight up outdoor one, and it has been nothing but awesome since I got it. I've only had to charge it once. It's been a long time, and I absolutely love it. This is one of my favorite products from Wyze, and they've really come out with a bunch of great stuff.
Yeah, I got the outdoor cam as well. Full disclosure, they sent it to me for free.
Full disclosure, they did not send it to me for free.
we'll get you one set. So I had used the regular cams outside in an enclosure, and they work great, except the killer feature on the new Wyze outdoor cam is that the motion detection, it actually has a sensor on the camera. The motion detection on most cameras, including the Wyze V2s, is diff-based, meaning that they'll take a photo and then they'll take another photo and they'll diff them and say, oh, there was a thing. So like if like a mosquito flies really close to the camera, it's like, oh, there was motion. Whereas with the PIR motion detection, this thing works awesome because it actually has to detect somebody there. And that paired with the AI of, is there actually a person there? And it looks like they're working on detecting animals and packages as well using the AI, which is really cool. And the battery is awesome on it. So I've had it at our cottage for 2.5 months. Yeah, so probably about almost 80 days it's been plugged in or not plugged in. And we're at 55% battery life right now.
Yeah.
It'll go down quicker if you're walking in front of it every single day. Like sometimes we don't get anything, but if like a deer or something walks in front of it, it will trigger, which is kind of cool. So big fan of the Wyze outdoor cam. They also just released the Wyzecam V3.
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't know what's different about it.
It's got a better low light sensor. So if you are running it in like a dark somewhere that is dark, it will give you better quality. Cool. I've seen a bunch of people on the forums already have posted like overnight time-lapse photos of it snowing, which is so cool. And also it's water resistant. So it's IP65, which I think the iPhone is as well. This is one that you can just put it outside without a thing. It's not, you still have to plug it in. And you can't just put it anywhere than like the actual outdoor cam, but like for $20, an outdoor camera, that's really good. Big fan.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. They do a lot of great stuff. I have a one that's kind of expensive for what it is. And this one may shock some people in the price. This is the Lutron dimmer. And this dimmer is for people who use the Hue bulbs. Now, I really like my Hue bulbs. They are very costly and whatever at the end of the day, but they are really cool. I have like my one in my office set up to do like change the temperature color all over the course of time. Like all of the lights in our houses get a little bit like more red tint as the day goes on, just to give you a little bit better sleepy times. And I really like these switches because it turns any switch into a dimmer as long as you have Hue bulbs, because it basically screws on to your current switch and it gives you the ability to twist it or press it. And you might be looking at the price, it's $40. You might say, holy cow, a $40 switch. We don't have one of these in every switch in our house, I should say. Like this is for specific things. Like in our bedroom, we have a switch and we put one of these on there, and this switch now controls like 5 or 6 Hue bulbs all at once
oh,
that are like
nice.
Connected via different things. Some of them are just in the bedside lamps and stuff are being connected by this. And you can do a lot of really neat stuff with this. They're expensive. I found at least a couple of these have been very worth it for us. It also prevents Courtney from turning off the switch, making the bulb not work anymore because the Hue bulbs have some that issue.
That's awesome. I love the Leviton dimmer switches. At the time, they were the only Wi-Fi based switches that could do three-way. If you have a switch on one and then you have a switch somewhere else, like in our house, we have two switches for most of our lights. And if you want to put a dimmer on them, it's annoying because if you dim one and then you turn it off and on the other one, if you want to undim it, you have to walk over to the other one. So they did some kind of sneaky stuff behind the scenes where they used the neutral wire, I think, or they use one of the wires as a data wire instead of what it's meant for. And then you can dim them from either switch as well as dim it with your voice. So you say, okay, gargle lights 20%, and then it'll bring them down. And they are awesome. The only thing I didn't like about them is that if you want to use iOS, it's an entirely different switch. And I accidentally bought the iOS switch, installed it, and then realized my mistake. And I had to you had to run downstairs, flip the breaker, yell up to my wife, is the light off? Did I get the right one? Go all the way up. So that's annoying. I've heard the, what is it? The Lutron Casetta dimmer works if you don't if you don't have a neutral wire, which a lot of old houses
we don't,
then that one does some sneaky stuff behind the scenes in order to make it work, which is kind of cool.
I almost got those. They were costly too. I think we went in the Hue direction, and once we went in the Hue direction, it's like, well, there's a lot of accessories here that are Hue specific, so the Casetta ones are supposed to be pretty cool.
Last thing is the Google Home. What's it called? Google Home Hub, Nest Hub. They changed the name. It's called the Nest Hub. We love ours. We have two. And our favorite part about it is the photos. Being able to see the photos. Kids love it. They just sit in front of it for hours and swipe through the photos.
It's just a photo frame. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's and obviously it controls our lights, and we're able to pause our TV with it. And it does everything.
Yeah, Courtney watches TV on it sometimes because we have one on our nightstand. So she could just hang. We don't have a TV in our bedroom, so you can just watch TV on it.
Oh, does it? So when you go to sleep, it gets dim. Is that dim enough to sleep with it, or do you have to turn it off?
It is for me, yeah. It goes all black, essentially, with just the time on it. Sometimes it can be a little bit, if I wanted to adjust the thermostat in the middle of the night, it can be a little bit of when you touch it.
Oh, yeah.
But the dark mode for it, yes, it is definitively good. Although our stupid baby monitor is just extremely bright all the time. it has all these little notification LEDs on it that are just constantly bright. So
that drives me nuts.
I really have no idea what a dark room looks like anymore. And it drives me nuts.
Oh man, I have to have a totally dark. We have
I would prefer.
We have the blackout shades, and still light gets through the sides. Because we they replaced all of the street lights with LED street lights, and when they did that, it's boom, into our. So we had to put blackout curtains in front of that, and then I went around with. Actually, this is a really good. This is a sick pick right here. It's just get somebody a roll of multicolored electrical tape. So you get white, red, black, blue. And then whenever you have to block off an LED light on some silly electronics, you can do that with this electrical tape that hopefully matches and doesn't look too awful.
Yeah, right. Cool. So let's get into the next section, which is going to be desk stuff. Desk stuff, this is Wes's naming here, the desk stuff. And one of my favorite things that I have for my desk is I do a lot of standing on my standing desk. So I have a fatigue mat. They're really cheap, 16, 20 bucks or so. And it's a nice little comfortable mat, and I stand on it, and it really makes standing at my desk quite a bit better.
Ooh, that looks cool. I want one of these in front of where I prep food.
This is, a lot of people would use it for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then I see them at Costco and I'm like, this would be nice to have.
Yeah.
I haven't never pulled the trigger on it, but it looks really nice.
High density foam.
I'm going to sick pick a Rollerblade Gang chair wheels. This is something that literally hundreds of people on Twitter got
I got two sets.
I showed them. Yeah. It's just basically your desk chair. You pull the wheels off. And then somebody figured out you can put rollerblade wheels, and it comes with all the attachments. You just shove it in, and then you have these really slick smooth rolling wheels on your office chair. It's like the benefits of it is that it is smooth rolling, and then also it saves your floor. You don't have to. I've even seen a lot of people say they got rid of the that plastic mat you have to put on top of carpet because they just go straight on carpet with these, which is kind of interesting. I've never tried them on carpet. We've got vinyl. We're in both of our spots, but huge fan. These are like, they're cheap, like $30. And major upgrade to your office chair. Just if you're getting them for somebody who has an IKEA chair, get the 10 millimeter ones. Otherwise, get them 11 millimeter.
Yeah, I have them, and I have a ruggable rug. So if you have a rug in your office, you can definitely roll over them. It's been very nice to be able to roll over it and not have to worry about that.
What else do we have here? Logitech MX3 mouse. This is... When I have the MX2 mouse, but the MX3 is the latest version of it, and it is an awesome mouse. It's got all kinds of little buttons on it. I used the Apple mouse for probably 10 years, and when my last one broke, I thought, I'll just try a new one, and I'm so glad. I put three of the buttons to volume up, volume down, and play pause. Like, what a benefit of that. Like, a lot of people do a lot more complicated stuff with it, but I just use mine for doing audio and playing pause. And I can't imagine not having that anymore, because if you need to pause your music, when you have your hand on the mouse instead of on your keyboard, it's very, very easy.
Yeah. I don't use a mouse. I use the Magic Trackpad. I like trackpads. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
My wrists and hand don't like it, but my usage does.
Yeah, I should try that again. I haven't tried a trackpad in probably 5 years. Maybe I'll get into that again. What else do we have here? Wireless charging pad. These are really cheap. It's a stocking stuffer, $10 or so. And most phones built in the last, would you say 2 years? 3 years, if your phone is less than 2 years old, you probably have a wireless charging coil in the back. Mm-hmm. And just having one of these little pads that you can lay your phone on and get a little bit of extra charge into it is pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. So let's get into our live streaming and work from home setup stuff. So this is going to be largely around audio visual stuff for your computer and your setup here, whether you are Zooming or podcasting or YouTubing or Twitching, whatever, any of those things. First and foremost, I wanted to have the Elgato Stream Deck. This is something I'm very bullish on. I like this a lot. It's basically it's a square with some buttons in it. Now, the neat thing is you can reassign those buttons to do just about anything when you're streaming. And those of you who have used OBS know that it is a giant pain to like do anything in OBS in my mind. So this thing kind of eases some of that pain because you can assign macros and all sorts of things to your OBS, whether that's changing the source or initializing some sort of sequence or whatever. It is really, really neat. And I actually had another competitor to this on the list before called the Loop Deck, Loop spelled L-O-U-P-E deck. Unfortunately, I read a bunch of reviews about it saying the software's terrible. And the really depressing part about the software being terrible is that, Wes, you might actually, I'll send you some of these videos. Like, one of the reviewers was like, I installed the software and there's this like developer tools thing open by default on it. I don't even know what this is. And I was like, oh my God, they ship software and had Electron with Chrome developer tools bundled. So it's always open. It's just
little Boolean they forgot in.
But also, so that tells you it's web-based, but all of the reviews for it said that the interface was slow, laggy, terrible, awful, everything. So unfortunately, I'm not going to recommend that one just yet because it seems like that their dev team has some work to do.
$700 this Loop Deck too. We should say that the other one, Elgato one, is like what, 120?
144. For the 15 key, there's a 20 or a 32 key that's 240 and a 6 key one that is cheaper. And again, this thing is like little LEDs in the keys. So the keys can even be GIFs or neat things like that. It's very fun. I like it a lot. And Elgato makes some really neat stuff. You're going to have on here the Cam Link, which is the thing that we use to connect our cameras to the computer via HDMI. And I actually been using the Cam Link for a long time. You have the 4K one?
Yeah. Yeah. I bought it right before the pandemic.
Yeah. Which is smart.
And I got it. And then the pandemic hit and no, you couldn't find them anywhere.
Yeah.
And I had a friend that really needed it for like real work. So I gave it to them. I just got it back recently, but I did do a brief little stint with the knockoff one. So the 4K is 60 frames per second, which is awesome if you're gaming or whatever. But if you're just trying to take an old or an SLR or mirrorless camera and use it as a webcam, they sell like a $20 one that's just called HDMI video capture. And I was like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if it's any good. And I got it and it actually worked really good. The reviews were really good. And then it broke.
Mm.
It got really hot and it stopped working. So obviously I just returned it to Amazon. I got a new one. But from what people are saying on Twitter is I probably just got a dud, because there's a lot of people on Twitter who's like, yeah, I've been using mine for whatever. I stream for 6 hours at a time and it has never overheated on me. So that is a good option, because the Cam Link is super expensive. But if you're trying to get somebody like a $20 gift, that would be a good one. Just also get them the HDMI cables as well. I don't think many people have a micro or mini HDMI.
Micro, yeah, whatever the camera has. You'd have to have knowledge about their camera.
That's a good point.
Oh, I should say, I also tried out the Blackmagic version of this same thing. Blackmagic, the company that does DaVinci Resolve, has their own of these. And it was supposed to be really nice, but there was no feedback on it. Like, not even an LED to tell you if it's working correctly. And I could never get it working correctly. So the Cam Link at least has an LED to show you when it like should be working. And I've been using mine to even stream my Nintendo Switch. So when I said I was streaming Nintendo Switch, you can plug in any HDMI that has a clean output into this thing, whether it is a video game console or something like that. And suddenly it becomes your webcam. So it is not just for camera. It's for all sorts of cool stuff.
Next one we have here, and this is from somebody on Twitter recommended this. So I don't have this myself, but I thought this was big brain over here. He linked to a adjustable height workbench from Home Depot as a really heavy duty, slick, adjustable standing desk. So what it is it's a big butcher block table on a metal powder coated black frame that has a manual crank on it to move the desk up and down. And it's $229 for a 62 inch. That's a really wide desk. You can also get a 46 inch one for $179. And I was like, man, because I have a butcher block for my desk. And I was like, I love it. It's like, it's not as deep as other desks, and it's super solid. It's super heavy. And now I'm thinking like, that would be really cool. The only weird thing is that it's manual crank. So you have to manually crank it yourself. But I immediately started thinking, well, could I put my drill on that? Could you put a little motor on it that you have a button on your cam link deck?
Yeah. Yeah. That's very funny.
So like, that's way cheaper than a lot of these standing desks that I've seen before. And this has a real wood butcher block top. So big brain. Shout out to Jonathan Speak, who recommended that one. People on Twitter are loving it. So check that one out.
Nice. Cool. So next one for me is the, I never know how to say this company's name, Neewer, N-E-E-W-E-R. This is a dimmable bi-color LED studio key light. It is a very, very, very bright professional studio lamp. It has 480 LED beads, and it is a... The whole thing is very thin. It's very nice. It's only $62 comparatively to some other LED lights or anything like that. This is to get yourself a nice light, because as Wes and I were talking about before we recorded this episode, lighting is really the big, big difference in terms of having a okay camera look good and having a good camera look amazing is really just the lighting setup. And I use this thing. It does not come with a stand, so you're going to have a stand. Luckily, I had just a generic stand sitting around. But you can get a cheap stand for really cheap. And again, this thing has a diffuser baked in. What I like about this one specifically compared to, I have a couple other studio LED lamps as well. But the reason why I like this one so much is because every other line of LEDs is like orange tinted, so that you can have individual brightness knobs for the white light or the orangish light. And that way you can tune the kind of look that you're getting out of it. If you have too much like super high white light on your face, it's going to give you more of a pale look. So you can add a little bit of this orangey light in here. So my other ones, my main key, because I'm using it as a fill, my main key is a straight up white LED. My backlight's a main white LED, but my fill light is actually straight up sepia or the orangish tint. So that way it kind of fills in some of that extra light, giving me a little bit more color.
Yeah, my wife just got a set of softboxes from Neuer, and I just like put them in because I'm trying to like up my game as well, which is why I've got the Cam Link and whatnot. And I'm sort of in the middle of it. Maybe once we've got it figured out, we can do a little rundown of our setups. But
yeah,
I couldn't believe, like, I was like, this camera is garbage. And then I just put this like beautiful light in front of me and it like immediately. And Scott also, he turned off his lights. And I was like, that looks good. And then he turned on his lights and it's like, ooh, I was like, yeah. Oh, that looks so good. Like, I get it.
Yep. It's a big deal.
Another fun thing I got is I'm trying to do some colored backlight in my setup. And I got these LED RGB floodlights, which are also water resistant. So you could throw them really anywhere, like that you can for Christmas or whatever. It would be kind of cool as well. Mine came with just a little remote to change the colors. But now I'm seeing that there's some available that have an iPhone app, which maybe I'm going to get those instead. I'll return the ones I have because you can set the color to any color that you want, except for brown. That's a very interesting technology connections video you should watch.
Good. Yes.
Because you can't make brown. But any other color you are allowed to have. And they just throw a really nice, super bright color on it. And I was really impressed. My kids love them too. So I'll link those up as well.
Cool. Next one for me is going to be this Vivo pneumatic mic arm. I have tried every mic arm underneath the sun. I had a really fancy K&M one that was garbage. I mean, they're all these external spring brace. So one, they look ugly sitting on your desk with all these springs sticking out. Two, they never put the mic where you put the mic. I put the mic up here and then it droops down because the mic's too heavy for it. You tighten it up, it doesn't care. Over time, the thing is just inevitably going to break down. So I was really on a run to find a good mic arm, and all of the good ones, like the broadcast ones, basically require you to drill through your desk, or they're very expensive, or there was a lot of downfalls with all of them. And so I found this one after a lot of trying and looking. It's Vivo, same company that makes my monitor arm, and it's pneumatic, and it is only $79. So compared to other professional ones, this one is a steal. Because if $70 sounds like a expensive mic arm for you, yes, it is. But compared to the other good ones, this one's a definite steal. And if I put my mic over here, it stays there every single time. And I don't have to worry about it.
It's like the light at the dentist. That's how I always tell people about what pneumatic things are. It's like when the dentist puts the light where he wants it to go, it stays there.
It's easy to move, but then once you stop moving it, it doesn't move. Yeah, it's just very good. So,
oh, that's good. So that's it for our work from home setups and whatnot. We'll probably do another show on stuff once we've all I've got it settled down. You obviously have yours dialed in. Let's take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, and that is FreshBooks. FreshBooks is cloud accounting. And I'm going to tell you not about the features of FreshBooks, but about the support of FreshBooks. So I had an issue with FreshBooks last Thursday, and I logged into FreshBooks. I needed to download a tax summary for my accountant and get it off to him. So I clicked on it, and the page just jumped to the top. I immediately was like, JavaScript is broken, because I clicked on the link or clicked on the button and it didn't move me to that part of the application. It just jumped to the top of the page. So I said, okay, this is annoying. What am I going to do about this? So I was like, I'm going to call him. So I called him. Somebody picked up, first ring, said, hey, FreshBooks, what's up? They didn't say what's up. They were more professional than that. And I explained the issue. I said, it looks like JavaScript's broken. Trust me, I'm a developer. You could tell that the guy on the phone was also super technical. So he understood what was going on. He said, all right. So he generated the report for me. And then he also logged off that issue and contacted the right people for it. And it was fixed within a day. I had it working again when I tried it again the next morning. So support with FreshBooks is fantastic, let alone they answer the phone. You know, I didn't have to like submit some sort of like contact form that they immediately email and say, we got your support request. And then you never hear anything back. The support is awesome. So check it out. Freshbooks.com/syntax. Make sure you use Syntax in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And that is going to get you a 30-day unrestricted free trial.
Cool. So let's get into the last two sections really quick. We can breeze through some of these because these things are not sort of tech related fitness stuff. I got a Concept 2 rower PM5. It is the model. Oh, gosh. Model D.
Oh, the D.
It's the Concept 2 Model D PM5. I love this thing. I use it all the time now. I ordered it from somebody locally on Craigslist. They are kind of difficult to find right now. So pop up in Craigslist, set up some alerts and try to find one for yourself. The reason why I really like getting a rower is because it's going to be a good way to do cardio at home in the middle of a pandemic, right? Because cardio at winter is really, really tough to do, especially unless you're doing like jumping up and down in your living room or something, which is fine. But the rower in general is going to build muscle as well as do cardio stuff. So very good. Another thing I want to shout out is the power blocks, which are going to be difficult to find. And hopefully that doesn't stay the same, but who knows? The power blocks are adjustable dumbbells that go anywhere from 5 pounds to 70 pounds or even higher if you have the extension. We use these things every single day. They are just incredible. I've had them for now like 8 years or something, and they're just very good. Another one, this one's going to be a cheap one because a lot of these have been very costly. This is the bands. So I have some $19 bands here, elastic bands that you can use for different types of poundage of pressure all the way from 10 to 50 pounds. And I do, this is a piece of gym equipment that costs $20 and I have only ever bought one set of these and it has been fantastic forever and ever and ever for me. We just attach them to something in our gym. We have like a thing called Swedish stall bars that I built, but you could attach these to the door frame. You could attach these to literally anything. And it allows you to get weighted resistance, do all sorts of stretching exercises or strength building exercises. Like the possibilities are seriously endless for what you can do with good bands. So check these out, $20, and it will really, really make a big difference.
I will pick one fitness thing, and that is just a couple of kettlebells, having them in your office. If you're frustrated trying to work through something, being able to lift and swing them a couple times, it really helps. I bought a couple of new ones like a couple of months ago, and they were really, really hard to find. I found like the last few at a Canadian Tire here, but just looking online, it looks like stock for these are starting to be replenished, which is awesome. So that's another cheap little home office fitness thing that you could just have there and get through any hard times that you're having with frustration. I'm amazed at how helpful they can be when you just swing them a couple times.
Awesome. Lastly, let's get into some clothing here really quick. I'm going to shout out developer.io. That's DVLPR.io. Travis is a friend here. He lives in Colorado. He's a really great guy, and he's been making these t-shirts for a long time, often imitated, I must add. I've seen his designs that he created all over the internet from various people ripping him off. So if you want to support Travis and his awesome, awesome stuff. He's got some great t-shirts and hats and stickers and stuff. Check out developer at dvlpr.io and check it out. A lot of cool stuff.
I got a couple little pieces of clothes that I really enjoy. Naked and Famous makes my favorite jeans. They're a Canadian company that makes Japanese selvage. And the cut I really like is called the Super Guy. They have a whole bunch of different cuts, and you might want to find a place that sells these so you can find your cut. But the Super Guy is kind of like not super skinny painted on, but like tight around the leg. And they are fantastic quality jeans. The same company also makes these things called Unbranded. I think I've talked about this before. It's the Unbranded brand. And they are the exact same cuts. They are just made in China instead of made in Canada with Japanese denim. And they also, they're much cheaper. They're still not like super cheap, but they're much cheaper. So there's kind of two options there. I like buying the Naked and Famous ones because they always do like collabs or they do fun stuff. Like they'll do like a red inside, or they'll use a different color thread on the back. Things like that is kind of fun. I really like that.
Neat. I have a link here from a store that I really like for men's clothing. So I'm sorry, this is very gendered here. But men's clothing, you know, my wife has a hard time finding stuff for me because I have very specific tastes in my clothes. But this is a place I know that she can go to and literally close her eyes and pick, and probably I'm going to love it. So this is huckberry.com. If you've never heard of this, they have a lot of stuff that's not just clothing, a lot of like gifts. So if you're looking for gifts for that dude in your life, this is a great place because it's all expensive stuff. I don't want to get your hopes up that it's going to be cheap stuff, but it's all very good stuff. A lot of like really, really nice crafted things, brands like Topo and Flint and Tinder, I think is the name of the brand. Either way, a lot of really neat stuff for dudes.
I got a couple more little things as well here. Everlane makes a really awesome crew neck, which is it's called the uniform crew neck. If you Google it, it's a really nice, good quality sweatshirt. Levi's has my favorite denim button up called the Barstow Western. And Fall Raven makes probably some of the best flannels that I've ever worn. I specifically have one called the Skog, but all of the Fall Raven ones are really, really nice.
I love going in to the Fall Raven store. There's one in Boulder, and just being like, ooh, this stuff is very nice. The last one I wanted to have would be these Lululemon joggers. I have the men's jogger, and my wife has the women's version of the same thing. And these things are not like, they're not yoga pants or whatever. These things look like joggers. They're kind of a, I don't know what the material is. It's very stretchy. And so she bought me a couple pairs of these pants, and it's literally all I wear anymore because they don't look cheap. They look very nice. They hold up, but they're also extremely stretchy and very comfortable. They're sort of like fancy sweatpants, but they're not.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it's a socially acceptable sweatpant.
They're very nice. So like they're nice enough to wear out and not feel like, oh, I'm slogging around in sweatpants. So I seriously have a couple pairs of these and I wear them all the time. I was a little skeptical about a dude buying Lululemon stuff. But after I got these, Courtney was like, I like these pants so much on you that I need to buy some for myself. And the women's version is just as nice. So very cool pants.
All right. Do you have any sick pics for me?
That's a good one. This whole episode is a sick pick. So
yeah, that's it. So hopefully that is helpful. I hear from people all the time. Like, obviously, it's just an entire episode of us talking about cool stuff. But people always tell me how much they like the sick picks and they get to find out about neat stuff here and there that we're into. So hopefully that is helpful for you or for whoever it is that you're looking to buy some Christmas gifts for.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm going to shamelessly plug, if you would like a nice tutorial series, well, head on over to leveluptutorials.com/pro and sign up for a year. And that one may be a great gift too. So leveluptutorials.com/pro.
Yeah, actually, that's one thing I get every single year is people say, how do I gift your courses? I don't have a process for that. But generally, the way it works is just buy it with your own email address and then
change the email.
On the day, we'll change the email and resend it to that person. So you can just shoot me an email, wes@westboss.com or hey@westboss.com is probably better. And we will switch that over and we can do it at or near Christmas Day. So we don't ruin the surprise as well.
Word.
All right. westboss.com/courses. I forgot about the link. And use coupon code Syntax for $10 off.
Sick.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will catch you on Monday.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.